We're Captain Clean, and nobody cleans or guarantees satisfaction like us. Oriental rugs, heating and air conditioning systems, carpet, tile and grout, hardwood floors, upholstery, fire and water damage, insulation removal, mold remediation, chimney cleaning, and much, much more. Call Captain Clean this winter at 672-0726. Affordable choices for healthy living.
Before there was a Frackleton's restaurant, this building was home to Dr. Frackleton, the sagebrush dentist who patched up cowboys, Native American chiefs, and anybody tough enough to sit still. No frills, no shortcuts, just steady hands and work done right. That same Frackleton spirit lives on today. Good food prepared with care, well-poured drinks, friendly service, and world-class cuisine. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
You save, we give. Hi, this is Cheyenne Panetta with First Northern Bank of Wyoming. You're familiar with our Save Up program by now. And in 2025, we matched over $43,000 donated to local nonprofits in our communities. In 2026, our quarter one donations will go to the local high school programs. Enroll today at 29 North Gould Street in Sheridan. First Northern Bank of Wyoming, investing in our communities since 1885. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 402576.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Good morning, Tuesday, January 27th, and from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter Executive Director AJ Evans and Cat Lead Assistant Sarah Bacon. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Floyd.
AJ, how are things at our shelter right now?
Well, as you know, we just wrapped up 2025, and we had a tremendous year, I have to say. And I'm just so grateful for all of my staff and the tremendous team that helped us through it. And, of course, all the donors, sponsors, I mean, just anyone. Numbers have been up. Total adoptions last year were up. We had 317 successful adoptions. So intakes was up a bit, but that's to be expected. Year to date, so this month alone, we only have 85 animals in house.
Oh, wow.
Which is amazing. So numbers overall have been down, and we have been able to actually transfer pets in from other shelters in Wyoming. As we speak, our cat lead is actually on her way to Casper to retrieve 3 cats and a dog. So we've been able to help other shelters locally, and we haven't had a surrender list. So it's just been amazing. So why, you ask? I have no idea. You know, the waves come and go, and we're just so blessed to be doing as good as we have, monetary and, of course, staff-wise. And I just don't know. Adoptions are up.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a period there where I was really trying to figure out what causes this ebb and flow. And it seems as if, I mean, even the American Kennel Association, they have no idea. You know, how do we start a trend of adoptions? Well, then once you get it started, they don't know why it started. They don't know what they did. And then once it's going, how do we keep it going? And these are all things that don't really seem to be nailed down. Some months people really want pets. Other months, it seems like you guys get a lot of turn-ins. I'm really happy to hear about the turn-ins this year, though. Because that's one thing that always kind of concerned me. Two things about the shelter that always concerned me. The amount of pets that are turned in. And number two, the amount of pets that are taken off of the street and never called about. I've never understood that.
And so, of course, that's still going on. I just actually adopted a little dude that was a itsy bitsy puppy stray out of Claremont. And it just makes you wonder, you know, yeah. I mean, in the middle of winter. But you have that, and I don't think, you know, we're humans. I mean, there's the good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, this will never change. But as far as why are things up and down and the way they're going, I have no idea. You know, quite frankly, I'm going into my fifth year with the shelter, and I'm still taking one day at a time.
Yeah.
And all we can do as shelter staff is the best we can do to take care of these animals.
And do it today, right?
That's right. And, you know, it really shows. I mean, from the adoptions to the support we're receiving. So I always tell these guys we must be doing something right, you know, and all we can do is the best we can with what we've got.
You know, I think it was last month, maybe the month before, Hannah came in, your operations manager, and she told me that they're finally through the surrenders list.
Yes.
Which,
still.
Oh my gosh, that list had been on the desk for how long, trying to address it. Well, you can't address it if I've got temporary kennels in the garage.
Right.
We just don't have the room. And so that was a major success in itself, to hear that. And then to hear that the adoptions are up. I think that's incredible. When it comes to winter months, do adoptions go down? Do they stay even? Or do they go up?
You know, I think that's another one of those questions that's really, really hard to answer, because you think people are cooped up and they're willing to go look out and look at animals, but it's like been so icky out there that nobody wants to leave the house.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like me, I place my grocery order online. You know, when it's ready, I'll go pick it up after work and I'm at home. I'll do my chores and I'm just, you know, cooped up inside.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I mean, this month alone, we've gotten 22 animals out.
Wow.
Yes. On the dog side, though, just 3, but 17 cats and then a couple of guinea pigs. But 22, and well, the month's not over yet. You know, we still have approved applications. And so hopefully, a handful more will go out yet this week.
That's fantastic.
So, yes, like I say, we've just been so blessed all the way around. I'm grateful.
You said you had a couple guinea pigs head out the door. You got any other little critters in there?
Three gerbils.
Oh, yes. The gerbils.
I love the fact that, you know, we call it the dog and cat shelter, but there's been chicken, there's been geese, there's been just about everything you could possibly imagine.
Yep.
Lizards. Have you guys ever had a spider in there? Some people keep spiders as pets.
No, just the frail ones that run around on the floor.
Just the ones looking around.
I don't think anyone would want to take care of a spider. We have a lot of them that are afraid of spiders. So.
Now, let's talk about the gala, something that we really spearheaded to try and get people out there. How well attended was the gala this year? You gave me some anecdotal numbers.
So the overall outcome was a huge success. And, you know, this was my third time going, and it was their third time in a row doing it for us. So they raised $30,100, which
Fantastic.
Was over $5,000 more than last year, and, of course, more than the first year. I know ticket prices were up a bit, but the sponsors alone, they had nearly 20 sponsors and then probably a dozen donors. You know, and then, of course, the ticket sales on top of that. So the net proceeds are over $30,000 that came to the shelter.
That's fantastic. And with that money, do you dog ear it for anything? Or is that just, you know what, I'm going to spend it where we need it type of funding?
Purely unrestricted. So, no, they don't tell us what to do with it. So we can use it however, you know, at our discretion, however needed.
How helpful is that?
That's amazing. And that brings me to another thing. And you guys always bring this up when I'm not here, but restricted funds. Another thing we've been extremely, extremely blessed with lately is spay and neuter funds. We had been running low for quite some time. And now we just, I don't want to say we have an abundance, but thank you to Bunny Connell Memorial and their family. They ended up matching what came out of the estate funds. The Aniri Foundation is donating again to spay and neuter. And then, of course, Dinah's Chiropractic. Now they do this on a monthly basis. So we have funds available for the low-income cost spay and neuter program. It does not benefit the shelter directly. I mean, in a workaround way, of course it does, because animals are spayed and neutered.
Especially cats. We get so many cats just because
and we end
don't
up
spay
with,
them.
With less, you know, kittens and puppies. But yes, people, if you're in need of spaying and neuters your animals, we have the funds right now, and we're just extremely grateful.
You know, looking at that, you have been down there for 5 years. Does that really make
4 years, yes, going into my fifth.
Does that spay and neuter, from what you see, does it really make a difference?
Yes, absolutely.
I love that. Straight answer, bottom line. Yes, yes, this makes a difference.
Spay and neuter your pets, please.
Absolutely. I think that's one thing that everybody should do. Go down. And if you feel that you can't afford it, the program, the certificate program is there.
Yes.
Take advantage of it, folks. Get in there. Get them spayed and neutered. Ease this pressure. All right, looking back on 2025, AJ, what were your biggest challenges for the shelter during the year?
Well, you see me hesitating because, like I say, we've had a good year.
Mm-hmm. We had a really good year.
Yeah, I mean, you have those day-to-day challenges, but we'll just roll with it. I mean, you don't really have a choice. I always keep telling people, you know, we don't work at a bank where we can close a teller line if something goes wrong, whether it's technical or you don't have the staffing. You know, we're dealing with live animals. So whatever it takes, I mean, we'll take care of things. I mean, I don't know. I can't really pinpoint one thing. You know, you have your difficulties with the public sometimes, with intakes or the lack thereof. You know, staffing sometimes, you know, not everybody's ethics is the same.
Yeah.
You know, but again, we're humans and we'll just deal with it the best we can.
What about successes? What would you say was your biggest success for the year?
Well, we actually have been extremely blessed to be able to send a couple of our staff to a animal shelter behavioral management course.
Oh, fantastic.
It was a 2-month-long course. They actually just received their certificates, two of my staff. And there are a lot of things that came up that we were able to implement or in the process of implementing. Because over the course of time, you know, the shelter was built over 20 plus years ago. You know, when it comes from accommodations to the sizes of the kennels to the way we treat the animals and house them and handle them, a lot of it has changed. And none of us ever have had proper training in, you know, what should you do? What does it really look like, you know, nowadays? What should it look like? So I don't want to take away too much because those two staff will appear on the future shows and I want them
to talk about that.
So I think that was one of the great accomplishments that we were able to do that for them. And they now are sharing with us. And I'm going to have Sarah go into one of the topics here in a little bit, one of those that we already implemented. And I don't want to take that from her because I can already see her itching over there wanting to talk about it. So now we had a good year at Floyd.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and being able to send them to training and then have the trainers come back and train you guys, you know, that in law enforcement, military, we call that training the trainer. You send one individual, two individuals to this training. They come back, train the entire staff. Everybody benefits. And if there's new practices that are implemented or standard operating procedures, all the better. As you said, you know, when people look at a shelter job, they don't think, oh, well, there's definitely got to be some very serious training behind that. But I think we've come along far enough where there should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fantastic to hear that we've got individuals out there at the shelter that take this job seriously enough to really implement training programs. Now, one thing that we really touched on at the beginning of the year, last year, was the senior dog and senior cat programs. I kind of pushed that through the year because that was something that you really wanted people to understand. They're senior dogs, they're senior cats, they need a home. How did those projects go last year?
You know, we had a supporter for quite some time, and they kind of said, let's try it this way, let's try it that way. We made the adjustments based on their request. And we really haven't seen any change. So with that said, we still offer the senior dog and the senior cat program. So if you are adopting as your animal as a senior, we're still providing the same support. We're just doing it directly through the shelter. So it's out there. It's available. The funding that used to come in for it is no longer, but that is okay.
Mm-hmm. You can still manage it.
Absolutely.
Even though the funding ceased. That's incredible. I've got a friend who only adopts senior dogs. It's kind of funny. She's one of those individuals. She's got the old Subaru, and the car is basically outfitted just for the dog, and there's always a gray-haired little old dog sitting back there.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
Now, seasonal messaging, such as excuse me, summer heat safety, winter cold weather tips. These really do help improve animal welfare within the community. Do you ever get any comments from the public on those?
No.
No one ever comes up and says, hey, thanks for the tips.
No.
Really? I think they should.
We still share them.
I think that's something, you know, it's not just a news story for me. When I get those summer and winter tips for our animals from you guys, that's one of my favorite stories to put up each year. Because there might be somebody out there who suddenly looks at their dog bed and thinks, man, I should take that blanket out of there. Or, you know, they don't know what could happen in that extreme cold weather like we're having now. Blankets, not good for the dogs, folks.
Not even for cats. Like, if you have, like, a barn cat house or anything, don't ever put blankets in there because the snow can melt and then refreeze, and then they can freeze to the blanket, and it's just... would be horrible for that. So never put blankets outside for your animals.
Even like with the dogs and cats, or excuse me, with the cats, I can remember my dad had a couple barn cats. That's one reason also why I love the program, because I've seen that they actually work, and they used to hide in between the bales of hay.
Oh, yeah.
They'd get down inside there, and that's where they'd make their little homes.
Oh, yeah.
And as you're removing the hay, you can find where your cat's been sleeping. I always kind of felt bad, you know. Well, I just ruined his bed. I better go back and check it out. Now, how about community engagement this year with the shelter itself? You got a lot of volunteers who are very dedicated. They go out there. They walk these animals. They sit with the cats. How was community engagement in 2025?
So our volunteer hours, again, were up last year. So nearly 2,000 hours were spent at the shelter, which is the equivalent of one full-time employee. So again, we have very, very dedicated volunteers. We are opening more positions, other positions for volunteers now that haven't been available in the past. You know, areas where we're like, no, we really don't feel comfortable bringing anyone in. Mm. But now, again, that our staff has been there, has been trained, and they see where we could be utilizing their help, we feel comfortable bringing volunteers into areas where we haven't allowed them before.
Really?
So we're anticipating to see volunteer hours go up this year.
That's fantastic. With other duties, brand new duties that weren't available in years past.
The kind of the same duties, just in different areas that we haven't really let public or people that haven't actually worked there be. So it's kind of the same thing, just kind of a more responsibility that they'll have.
That's fantastic. Because, you know, I think that's one of those situations where someone could volunteer. They could get to know the routines. They could get to know their volunteer job. A position comes open and they're like, you know what, this is what I want to do. And you've got a volunteer who's ready to slip right into a new position.
And we've had that happen.
We've had that before, yeah. Quite a few
and
times,
actually.
And that's
the best, yes.
Yeah. Yep.
That's got to be pretty good. I mean, they already know where the bathrooms are. Everything's already kind of taken care of.
Yep.
Now, I do have to take a quick commercial break, but one thing that I did want to touch on, this was a big story. The outbreak of kennel cough up at the shelter. We had to shut down operations for a little bit. Quarantine everything, sanitize everything. Were there any other lessons learned, or were your procedures already in place to take care of all this?
The procedures were already in place. That was not the first time that it came through the shelter. So we just, you know, have protocol. We deal with it. People can still look at the animals online. Mm. You know, they can come in, see them on a screen, go through the book. And as soon as kennel cough was cleared, you know, we can start with meet and greets, and they can come in and physically see them. And then, you know, and in the meanwhile, it's not like we're stopped working, you know. We still work on all the applications. And once the kennel cough was cleared, we knew who was able to adopt. And we called those people in, and it went even quicker. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like we weren't doing anything in the meanwhile.
It was a pretty smooth transition from having the kennel cough and then going right back into the adoptions. The staff there just took it by storm, and we just kind of went and did it. So.
Was it like a big, massive top-to-bottom cleaning that had to be done, or can that even really affect kennel cough? You just got to kind of sit back and let it run its course.
We clean it top-to-bottom just to help. It does help, and the staff did it really, really well, and it just came faster and went away faster because of it. So,
and you guys use a very specific product for this kind of thing.
It's called Rescue.
Yeah. Emmy still talks about that stuff and how great it is. Really kind of decontaminates.
Mm-hmm. You put it on, cleans. You let it sit, and then you rinse it off. And it's not harmful to the animals, unlike using, you know, bleach.
Yeah.
And I know way, way back, they tried Simple Green. But as far as the disinfectant factor, Rescue is the best. It's pricey, but it's worth it.
Yeah. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ever wonder where your bank's priorities really are?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, they're right here at home.
No shareholders, just shared values.
Local decision-making, community support, and a long-standing commitment to the people we serve.
Plus the convenience of online and mobile banking.
Banking that matches your values.
First Federal Bank and Trust. More than a bank, a mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Say hello to the future of choosing your dream kitchen or bath. Buffalo Stone and Tile now house Wyoming's first 100% self-serve showroom, open every day 7:30 to 7. Granite, quartz, porcelain tile, luxury vinyl plank, faucets, hardware, thousands of today's hottest finishes, all ready for you to explore on your schedule. Just stop by, call the number on the door, and get buzzed in. No appointments, no pressure. Buffalo Stone and Tile, 1402 Sugarland Drive, behind WyoVision. Self-serve, stress-free, seriously gorgeous. Design help available by appointment.
When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
Cute.
I won $50.
Sure, you've played football pools, but have you played cow pools? Introducing Shorty's Countdown to Calving. Each cow featured is ready to have her calf. Pick the date you think she'll calve, and you could win $50 in chamber bucks. And we're in Wyoming, so there's plenty of cows. Play round one of Shorty's Countdown to Calving on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com.
Black and white. Looks just like his mom. Hey, I won $50 too.
This announcement brought to you by Farmers Co-op Country Store on Coffeen Avenue, home of ethanol-free premium fuel.
Ready to move, make music, and try something new? The Wyo Theater's creative aging classes are back for adults 55 and over. Join the movement with Stephanie Koltiska starting February 4th, or pick up harmonica with Mike Evers beginning February 6th. No experience needed, just curiosity and a sense of fun. Pre-registration is required. Learn more and sign up today at yotheater.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're sitting with Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter Executive Director, AJ Evans, and Cat Lead Assistant, Sarah Bacon. Sarah, how long have you been with this shelter? You've been there a while.
Yeah, I just passed my 3 years, so it was 3 years in December.
Well, congratulations.
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah, that's great. What inspired you to seek the position in the first place?
So I had worked with kids for the longest time, and then I was like, I wanted something new but kind of similar, so I was like, oh, let's try the animals.
Yeah, it's kind of a caregiving type of employment. Was there anything that you learned about the shelter when you started that surprised you or you didn't know?
Everything. I mean, it was so surprising of how much goes into it. I mean, I walked in, I thought I was like, oh, it's just petting animals or cleaning after them. Oh, no, it's so much. It is making sure that they're healthy, that they're okay, that their teeth are okay, that they're feeling better. And that they're able to be adopted, and like the behaviors to because being there, they're so anxious, and it's just from what I knew then, what I know now, oh, it's so different.
That's one thing that I've talked to every director and just about everybody who sat in that seat who dealt with the shelter. They really want people to understand when you see these animals, this is like it's not a prison. This is a good shelter. The animals are well taken care of, but this is not their natural environment. This is not a home.
No.
So they're going to behave a little different. They're surrounded by other animals. And for some dogs and cats, that's not a great thing.
No.
And so they may be a little tense when you go in to visit them, but when you get them home, that's a totally different animal.
It usually always changes. I mean, I have my dog and my cat that I got from the shelter, both of them, and they're different. I mean, they're not so anxious, they're not panicking all the time, they're not fighting for food, especially the cats. I mean, we have the big adoption room, and some of them are okay to be around other cats, but if they come too close, then it's like, okay, back up, like, leave me alone. So
now, when it comes to the amount of cats that you've got, one thing that I really didn't want a cat. For the longest time, I just don't want, because I don't like the smell of a cat box. I know a lot of people don't. Tell me what you guys use to prevent that from just overwhelming the whole building.
So before I started, they were using pellets, but now we're using the world's best cat litter, and I use it for my own cat.
And that's its name, right?
That's the world's best cat litter. And it is just amazing. It's based from corn, and they donate over 8,000 to 10,000 pounds a year for us.
Really?
It is just, and it's great, and it saves us a bunch of money, and they're just wonderful when they donate, and it actually kind of makes the cats happier because it's easy to use. It doesn't smell so bad all the time. And with cats, their senses are like so heightened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like clay. It's
not
so
a
easy.
Clumping thing.
No, it doesn't really clump. I mean, it covers, and they love to use it to cover.
Some cats just like to go in there and scratch around.
Some do. I mean, that's just kind of a cat behavior, but it's not like super messy, and it's really easy to clean up.
Wow.
So I love it. I use it for my own. So
do you? You
I do.
You use it at the house?
Oh, yes.
World's best cat litter. AJ, how much does this save you a year in expenses?
Well, they're valued at about $1 per pound. And like Sarah says, we received, and we've been doing this now for a solid 2 years with these folks, the Kent Group. And it's, like I say, it's an amazing program. So 8,000 to 10,000 pounds is valued at $8,000 to $10,000 for this particular product. And, you know, we've used other products in the past that are probably cheaper, probably half the price. But still, let's say we save $4,000 to $5,000 in kitty litter each year. Just by having the Kent Group stand behind us, and we cross promote the product. You know, we talk about it today. We talk about it on social media. When they adopt, when we adopt out a cat, we send on an adoption kit that they sent to us to give to those folks. And there's a coupon in there. I don't want to take it all away from you, Sarah, but I feel it's so, so important to recognize those people, all those sponsors, all those donors, in-kind donations. You know, we just would have to go out and fundraise even more if it wasn't for those folks. But, you know, you adopt a cat with us, you get a welcome kit, and it has a coupon in there for a free package of World's Best Cat Litter. And I tell you what, you try it, you fall in love with it. It's worth every penny.
You do. It is worth every penny.
Now, Sarah, I'm running out of time with you guys, but tell me about the hideaway boxes.
Oh, so the hideaway boxes came from a donor, he gave us the money to implement these hideaway boxes that the staff member that did one of these classes found out in this class. And so they're just boxes that the cats can climb into. We put blankets in them, and it keeps their scent with them. So when they do get adopted, we do send the hideaway box with them. It's easier to acclimate to their new house.
They got it. They got a little spot that's all their own. They know it's safe.
Yes, and it smells like them.
Wow,
they can perch on the top. They can hide in the inside. And it seems to be helping because we haven't had a lot of returns either. So it seemed to be helping so far.
That's incredible. One thing that I've always said, an animal needs a spot all their own.
Yes.
And once they find their little spot, that'll be their comfort spot, you know. And I kennel my dogs at night. I don't know if a lot of people do, but they need quote unquote a bedroom, and they're much more comfortable in there.
Yes.
On that, I got to let you go. Ladies, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come over and keep us updated on what's going on at the shelter.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Here's what makes First Federal Bank and Trust different.
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our community thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, Mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
Taxpaying residents that reside in a single-family residential structure and reside on that property at least 8 months of the year may be eligible to claim an exemption of 25% of fair market value up to the first $1 million. However, it won't automatically be given to you. You must apply for it online through the Sheridan County Assessor's website. The application period only runs now through March 1st. For more information, go online to SheridanCountyWY.gov.
Hi, it's Dan with Captain Clean, and furnaces are working overtime. Replacing your furnace filter routinely is essential to keeping your air clean and furnace operating effectively. In addition, it's recommended you have your furnace and ductwork professionally cleaned every 5 to 10 years. Call Captain Clean today at 672-0726 for a free HVAC cleaning estimate, and have our certified and experienced staff take a look at your system. Call Captain Clean today. Affordable choices for healthy living.
Doug, I watched a video and tried fixing my car.
How'd that go?
I have extra bolts.
Oh, boy. That's why you trust the service department at Waring Chevrolet, Bob.
Factory-trained technicians, oil changes, brake repairs, alignments, a collision shop, and detailing. With our tire price match guarantee, you'll get the lowest price on brand-name tires as well. And, oh, did I mention if you bring in a competitor's advertised service offer, we'll meet that as well.
Perfect. I'll save YouTube for my cookie.
Good idea, Bob.
Schedule online at WaringSheridan.com.
Sheridan County School District 2 is looking for a friendly, skilled, and safety-conscious bus mechanic to help maintain the district's transportation fleet. Applicants must have mechanical and electrical skills to help with repairs and have a valid driver's license with acceptable driving record. This position offers excellent benefits, paid leave, and a starting wage of $19.08 to $29.58, depending on experience. For more information or to apply for this exciting opportunity, visit scsd2.com.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. When you walk through our doors, you feel it, the perfect mix of style, warmth, and confidence. And that's no accident. It's our team, polished, friendly, and ready to make your night special. From the greetings to the goodbye, we care about your experience as much as your meal. Sheridan's favorite place to connect, celebrate, and unwind. Frackleton's, where great food meets flawless service. Main Street in downtown Sheridan.
Good morning. All right. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I am joined by two of my favorite people, Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center Executive Director Yvonne Swanson and Assistant Director Rhonda Weber. Good morning. Welcome
Good
back,
morning.
Ladies.
Morning. You're our fave, too.
I'll tell you what. You know, the work that you ladies do out there,
shucks.
And I shouldn't just say ladies, because you guys do have males on the staff. Advocates in your line of work, unsung heroes, in my opinion.
Thank you.
I didn't even realize before I got into the news biz that there were people who dedicated their lives to helping you through some of the toughest moments of your own. And so I really do appreciate everything that you and your staff do.
Thank you.
And the results, sometimes you don't even get to see the end of your work.
Right.
True. Yes.
So thank you for everything.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. It is. It's hard to explain the job that we do.
It is.
It is.
We have our government definitions,
when we're doing statistics and things like that, but it never really encompasses everything that we do and how we provide the services that we do.
And, you know, putting a definition on something so human can be so difficult.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, because someone can read it and say, oh, yeah, look at the great stuff that they do. But then to see the emotion and the toil behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It's such a great career profession, you know, like there's no day is the same. Mm-hmm. Ever, which is so great, but then also no day is the same, which can be really
hard to deal
exhausting.
With.
And so, you know, when we're hiring new staff, that's something we talk to them about a lot. We actually talk to them more in the interview process than they talk to us, because we just really want to make sure they understand the work and the commitment, because it's not just a punch in, punch out kind of job.
Yeah, and when you do have victories, mm-hmm. you celebrate them?
Oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We do. You know, a lot of the work we do is doom and gloom, for sure. Like, there's no denying that. But there is so many amazing small successes that we celebrate and keep. That's what keeps us moving forward, you know. And it's not the big successes. It's these little successes, something, you know, simple, like helping somebody set up their water utility account for the very first time in their 40s, and they've never been allowed to do that, you know.
Well, and I'll
like
take
that.
It even smaller. Of like, they called us and they went to shelter and they were safe for one night, or they called us and, you know, this time they went to shelter for 3 days, they filled out a protection order, mm-hmm. you know. And so sometimes it's just those little ones where they're coming in and they're getting empowered and they're staying in contact with us. Those are little successes too that we celebrate.
100 meters at a time, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, when we travel to Cheyenne, when we go to Billings, we're not looking at Cheyenne. We're not looking at Billings. We're looking at 100 meters in front of us. Let's just make it that first 100 meters,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll make it the next 100 meters and the next after that. Celebrate the 100 meters.
Yeah.
Even just, I think it's so incredibly brave that they call or come in. And so even just listening, even if I don't have anything I get to say during that conversation, just being able to, like, it's a true honor to listen to them and have them share their stories with us. And then maybe next time we move a little further on some ideas and options on what they want their life to look like. Maybe not. I don't know. I just think there's some humanity here where we get to sit and visit with individuals as humans and hear their hardships and then try and be compassionate about that. I don't think they have a lot of that in their life.
And it's strange for other individuals to really think about it, but that first hour of conversation,
mm-hmm.
like you said, they may just talk. That's because they've been bottling this up for sometimes 30 years.
Yeah.
They haven't told anybody.
Yeah.
This has been a secret in the family. It's been a secret from their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they finally have an opportunity to say something to someone who is there to really listen. And so I want to say thank you to the listeners.
Thank you.
You guys really do make a difference.
It is an honor.
And, you know, volunteers down there at the Advocacy Center, do you take volunteers, you know, and if you do, how many do you have? Do you need more? And what would their duties be, Yvonne?
Yes. As a nonprofit, and we use our volunteer hours as a match for some of our funding also, we need volunteers. We need volunteers not only for the nonprofit status, but also for respite for our staff members. So we have different avenues that you can do as a volunteer. Our main need is our 24-hour crisis line. And so that looks different than it did 30 years ago. We have cell phones, we have technology and things like that. So the requirement after being trained, because we teach you everything you need to know on how to answer a phone call, how to behave in the emergency room, how to behave in a law enforcement interview, anything like that. We teach you all of those things. And then you have your cell phone with you. And so as long as you can have a confidential phone call, you can be anywhere. And so as far as the time restraints, the volunteer also gets to pick the time and the day, you know, the days that they want to be on call. So it could be once a month. It could be more than that. But we are 24-hour crisis center, so we want to be available 24 hours a day.
Absolutely.
And then we also have other things like yard cleanup just to help us out. It saves us money. It makes our place look pretty. And then our donation room, we are always getting donations. We're always blessed with people that want to give us their amazing things. But it takes time and energy to keep that room nice and operational for victims who need things. Sometimes they show up in only shoes, no shoes, and so they need clothing and things like that. So we try to keep all that stuff right there at the office. And then court watch. We haven't had a court watch volunteer for a while, but that person gets a few hours of training just for our confidentiality and how we run our office. And then they can sit in court and give us accurate information to pass on to victims. And that's part of what we do is we want to provide victims the correct information instead of things that somebody might have heard or might have saw or different things. So we want them to have true and accurate information from the courts. First.
These people are making major decisions for their life, for their children.
Yeah,
they need good information.
Right.
Yes.
And so if individuals want to volunteer for that, it's got to be somebody who's very serious about that duty,
in
my opinion. Again,
and it's not for everybody because when we are assisting a victim, it is their story, it is their journey, and we walk alongside them to help them find information and resources, and it's up to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they might do things differently than we might do them, and that's okay. They might have a different time schedule on how they want to complete some of the actions that they have to do, and that's okay. And sometimes that's hard as anybody, because you're like, you should be doing this, you should be doing this, and it's not always the right thing for that person to do.
On that, it also takes a lot of funding to try and keep this ball rolling. The funding has ebbed and flowed over the years, and unfortunately, we're kind of in an ebb. Mm-hmm. So the fundraiser that's coming up is very important.
And, oh, it is.
And this is something I can still remember the first year you and I sat down and talked about this. This is a celebration. This is a fun event where everyone can come together. We can celebrate the great things about relationships. We can celebrate the great things about community. Tell me about it.
Well, there Rhonda and I were sitting at a chamber lunch. And the idea just came to me is like, love shouldn't hurt. Because it shouldn't. I mean, of course, every relationship has things. And life is hard, even when relationships are healthy. But it really shouldn't hurt. And like Rhonda said earlier, we deal with the doom and the gloom. We see the worst of the worst in relationships. And so we decided around February 14th, Valentine's Day, to do more of a celebration of healthy relationships instead of more of the doom and gloom things that we do during trainings and presentations and things like that. So this is, it's an upbeat, fun. The fun pianos, they come out of Nebraska, and they're a comedy show. They're fun. They're entertaining. Every extrovert's dream.
It truly is.
But listen, introverts, if you prefer to just be entertained and watch people, you can sit towards the back and you'll be fine. And then we have good food from Shabby Shack is catering this year. And so with good entertainment, we also have the event audio. They're a DJ little company out of Sheridan, and they do it for free for us every year, but they'll play music at the beginning, and they do the light show and all of that stuff during the event, and so they're just amazing.
It's so nice that they do that.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
guys.
It is
That's
so
great.
Cool. But they do amazing work, and it is. It starts at 6:00. It's at the Caliph Shrine again this year. It's just a great venue for what we
location.
Do. And starting at 6:00 on our Facebook page, our event page, things like that. You can buy the tickets right there. They're $75 per person, but it is. It's a fundraiser. It helps us raise money to help victims where they're at and what they need. A lot of our funding, when I get federal and state money, it has a line item.
Yep.
It is specific on what I can spend that money on. And when we fundraise like this, these dollars can go to help a victim right where they're at, whether it is diapers or a shelter or a tire or fixing a broken windshield or, you know, anything like that. Like, we can think outside the box and help them with what they need to be successful in their journey.
And you brought up a couple of things that this money can help replace. Maybe a lot of people haven't experienced this in their own life. How many tires have you paid to replace because they've been slashed over the years?
Oh.
I mean, I've been there 18 years, and so I definitely think...
It's
more than 10.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And then...
Unfortunately, I mean, that yeah.
Well, and not only that, you know, not only the violence that occurs that they have to repair, broken doors, broken windows, you know, a slashed tire, things like that. But our funding, it may or may not be there, from one day to the next. So we operate in this sense of like, let's provide empowerment and advocacy. And when we have funding, then we can help bridge this gap to them becoming self-sufficient, doing whatever is necessary so they don't have to return or make that phone call to their abuser, to their abuser's family, because that financial control is always prevalent. And so if we can do something with our funding that makes sure that they continue on that path to safety, then that's what we like to utilize that outside of the box stuff for.
Mm. Maybe a lot of people might not understand this, but I came from a place, excuse me, I got a thing in my throat today. I came from a place, some folks had a little old-fashioned way of doing things. Mm-hmm. I deployed with a soldier who was very, very concerned during deployment. And I just asked him, the wife can take care of that stuff, mm-hmm. right? And he said she has never mm-hmm. paid a bill in her life. You know, this mm-hmm. 40-year-old man. Mm-hmm. And he's like, she has no idea. Mm-hmm. And it's not because he was controlling. It was just the way that they lived. But that had never occurred to me.
Right.
That within a relationship that can happen. Now add the control on top of that.
And the fear.
And the fear.
The fear of yeah. not being safe.
Yeah. So these funds can be utilized by the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center in any way that they see mm-hmm. needs to be done to help victims where they're at. And I really do like this. Now, what does a ticket get me, Yvonne? What will I see? It sounds like...
Well, you get to see Rhonda and Yvonne.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah. Mandatory event, I guess.
We will be out in public. Supervised, of course. At 6 o'clock, our doors open and Shabby Shack will be providing an amazing spread, a buffet dinner. It is a cash bar, so bring cash if you want to get through that bar quicker. And then the dueling piano or the fun pianos will start at 7. They start at 7 and we're going to play them for 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
So 3 hours of entertainment, of fun. I'm telling you, these guys are great. They are interactive. They'll play whatever you want. Bring lots of dollars. You give them $20 for the Advocacy and Resource Center.
Yeah.
And they will play any song you want them to.
I didn't know how it worked the very first time we brought them. And I had in my mind this vision of these big grand pianos being wheeled in and it's not, you know, it's these quick setup, pretty grand in my opinion, but electrical pianos that they set up, you know, back to back. So they really can duel together. Dang. And I was like, well, we just paid for these people to come. Like what, how are we getting ticket sales? Sure. But then I realized, so you request songs, with a tip and you put it up on their tip jar, with the song. And of course, the higher the tip, the more priority they're going to give that song. And they literally can play anything. And so we keep
good.
The tip, the Advocacy and Resource
Center.
They donate the tips back. And I mean, the very first year I went, I was just so amazed at the songs they were throwing at them, from everything from like 70s classic rock to like Baby Got Back. And they were just, they were just mm-hmm. doing it. And it was so interactive. We had conga lines. We had sing-alongs. And so I was hooked.
I think my kid was a stripper last year. He had to dance for money.
This is a real celebration.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And how great is this? I mean, at the end of the entire party, everybody gets to work the next morning. Things mm-hmm. have to get very serious.
Yeah.
But I mean, is everyone still kind of on a pink cloud? We talk
sure.
about the celebration.
Sure. Well, I do it on a Friday night. We do have the event on a Friday night so that staff can recuperate. Yeah. Because it is, you know, it's all hands on deck. We're a small organization, so it's all hands on deck. And, you know, they start decorating in the morning and literally it's till 10 o'clock at night. And then we have to clean up the space. So we're there all night. But they love an event. They love to look forward mm-hmm. to something that's fun like this. Yeah. And so it is re-energizing of like, why do we do the work that we do? Because like you said, we don't get attaboys. We don't get a pat yeah. on the back. We literally, everybody who works at the Advocacy Center loves what they do and they love helping people. And that's what keeps them in this line of work because it is hard. Mm-hmm. We're yeah. hearing the worst of the worst on a daily basis. We know what most people might see on the news or what they might see in a horror movie, we're hearing it firsthand from victims. And so doing an event like this does give them some good self-care and it's a good time. And we love to see that our community that supports us. Sheridan has been so generous mm-hmm. to us and they appreciate all the work that we do. And it is just a fun event. So I hope everybody comes out.
How do I get tickets again?
You can Facebook. Yeah. Let Rhonda do it. She's so good at it.
So we have a Facebook event set up where you can purchase tickets online through Zephy.com. All nonprofits, shout out, should learn what Zephy is. And then we will add the link to our website. So if they want to go to our website at www.arcsheridan.org, then it'll link them right to where they can purchase the tickets. And then you can buy tickets at the door.
Okay.
So, and if you want to be a major sponsor, then you do get tickets with your sponsorship. And so you can have a whole table of fun people with you. If that's interesting to you, then reach out to us for that as well.
All yep. right, ladies, I've run out of time with okay. you. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
in this
you.
Morning. It is always a pleasure seeing you and talking about the great work that you guys do.
So
Thank
good.
You.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Ever wonder where your bank's priorities really are?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, they're right here at home.
No shareholders, just shared values.
Local decision-making, community support, and a long-standing commitment to the people we serve.
Plus the convenience of online and mobile banking.
Banking that matches your values.
First Federal Bank and Trust. More than a bank, a mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Are winter illnesses keeping you or your family from work, school, or play? When fever, cough, or body aches strike, don't wait it out. At Same Day Health and Imaging, we're here for you 7 days a week offering quick, compassionate care. Illnesses don't follow a schedule, but our extended and weekend hours have you covered. Same Day Health and Imaging, located at 1470 Sugarland Drive between Walmart and WyoVision. Walk-ins welcome or schedule an appointment. Visit SheridanSameDay.org to learn more.
Try it once and Himalayan Kitchen will have you craving another flavor explosion. They offer the taste you've been searching for. Dive into authentic Himalayan dishes with 5 different spice levels. There's something for everyone. Vegetarian? Their mouthwatering veggie options will leave you satiated. Come experience bold, unforgettable flavors at Himalayan Kitchen, where every bite is a journey. Crave it, spice it, love it. Dine in or take out. 2125 North Main Street or HimalayanKitchenWY.com.
The following message is presented by the Home Loan Center of First Federal Bank and Trust on Coffeen Avenue.
Sheridan County has been filled with fascinating people, places, and events. Dive deep into these stories with Sheridan Community Land Trust Explore History, the second Tuesday of each month at the Hub on Smith at 10 a.m. and the third Tuesday at the Tongue River Valley Community Center in Dayton at 10:30 a.m. Explore History is free to attend and open to all. Explore this month's program at SheridanCLT.org.